Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back to another great book discussion this Friday. Wanted to let you know that you are invited to our next Coffee and Books event on August 17th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join authors Misty M. Beller and Jody Basie for a fun Q&A session. This is a free event, but you will need to register to save your spot, and there will be a link to register in the blog post for this episode, or you can register at literaryescape.com/events. I am participating in 3 ebook giveaways this month. All the books are historical romance, but not all of them are Christian romance, so just keep that in mind as you're looking through those free books. You have just over a week to claim these free books for your enjoyment, and the links to these giveaways are listed in the blog post for this episode. If you're an author of historical Christian romance, then I encourage you to check out what we have to offer at HCRW. HCRW is our writers group for historical Christian romance authors. We offer community, connection, critiquing, and training. Memberships start at just $3 a month. Visit literaryescape.com/HCRW to learn more. And I hope to connect with you and watch your writing grow. September's expert training will focus on how to write a book proposal. Our expert trainer will be Terry Whalen. So join us on September 19th from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as he walks you through how to write a book proposal that sells. The cost is just $17. It is free for our HCRW editing members. If you want to write a book proposal that will catch the eye of an agent and acquisitions editor, then be sure to join us for an hour of training. You can learn more and register at literaryescape.com/events or using the link provided in the blog post for this episode. And finally, be sure to visit our YouTube or Rumble channel to view our full preview of Unwavering Faith. This adventurous romance brings the Wild West alive with our fearless leader, Brody Young, and his damsel in distress, Claire Belange. Links to the video are in the blog post for this episode, or you can search Literary Escape on YouTube or Rumble. All right, that is it for announcements. Enjoy our discussion of The Sky Above Us by Sarah Sundin.
Numbed by grief and harboring shameful secrets, Lieutenant Adler Paxton ships to England with the U.S. 357 fighter group in 1943. Determined to become an ace pilot, Adler battles the German Luftwaffe in treacherous dogfights in the skies over France as the Allies struggle for control of the air before D-Day invasion. Violet Lindstrom wants to be a missionary, but for now she serves in the American Red Cross, arranging entertainment for the men of the 357th and setting up programs for local children. Drawn to the mysterious Adler, she enlists his help with her work and urges him to reconnect with his family after a long estrangement. Despite himself, Adler finds his defenses crumbling when it comes to Violet. But D-Day draws near and secrets can't stay buried forever. Dun, dun, dun.
I love, again, it's a continuation. It's this other viewpoint of the brothers. So again, I'm just going to start this episode by saying spoiler alert. If you've not read this book, you may not want to listen to this episode. We try our best not to give too much away, but some things are just hard to discuss without, you know, just saying what happened. So with that being said, if you haven't read them, I think, girls, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we would all highly recommend this series.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. So just so everybody kind of knows how I set this up, I thought we would discuss some events and then talk about each character as a whole, just because there's so much in this novel and it's just that next piece to the puzzle. So let's start off with what did you think of this conversation between Nick and Adler towards the beginning? Because I really love how Nick told Adler that he was overdue for a wrestling match with God. And Nick shows up quite a bit throughout. So what did you think of him as well?
I liked Nick. I want a friend like him. Well, I kind of do with you, but like, he's just very inspirational and very, he tells you how it is, kind of. And he doesn't, I
would agree, like, if I could just, like, kind of tag on. I love how he's always pointing Adler to God. Everything goes back to God. And that's really what we should be doing. He's one of my favorite side characters in this whole series. Absolutely love him. But their friendship, what I love about it is it's as strong as brothers. I mean, they are like brothers. And I really enjoyed all the conversations and interactions that they had throughout the story. Do you have any thoughts on Nick?
The same as both of you.
Yeah. So. And Jamie also said that Nick is one of her favorite characters so far this year, she said. So of all the books that we've read.
Oh, okay.
Adler is a believer, but he is a prodigal son. And she loves Nick's wisdom and how it's delivered. I want to meet this guy in real life, is what she said.
Yeah, that's funny. It's you.
There you go.
Sorry.
I don't know. I try. All right. Then this is early on. You know, Mr. Tate, he's kind of like the guy that runs the Red Cross over there.
Yeah.
Like, he visits all the Red Cross stations and keeps them organized or whatever. He is unreasonably rude, I think, with Violet. So what did you think about him?
I don't like him.
I said the same thing. I don't like this man at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all had bosses like this, right? That are just, they're unreasonable. She's like, I am working on it. It doesn't even notice the progress that she's made so far. It's all about, well, you haven't done everything I've wanted done. You know, we are in the middle of a war here, man. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
This isn't like fun times over here.
It's like she couldn't do anything right.
Right. And then his arrogance. Would you call it arrogance or his pride?
Both.
Yeah. He would never apologize.
Yeah.
No. They do.
I guess they go hand in hand, don't they? He's just, you want to be like, this is Jamie. He just seems to be one of those people. I don't think he means to be awful, but he has no finesse. She gave him more credit than I would have given him, because I just thought he was a jerk.
I didn't like him at all.
All right. Okay. And so then this is really cool. So Adler's up in the plane. And when I talked to Sarah, she specifically talked through this scene and kind of how she came up with it and everything, which her interview will be out in a couple weeks. So this is what I like to call a coming to Jesus moment. You know, those moments where the character finally realizes, I can't do this without you, Lord. Help me.
Yeah.
And he's in his plane. And you know how he wants to become an ace. So he's kind of a daredevil up there in the sky, would you think? I mean, would you say?
At
the beginning.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Nick is the lead. And he is supposed to be on his right flank. Like, he is supposed to protect, basically, and keep. So he sees him, and Nick's like, stay in formation. He's like, no, man, I got this. Well, you know how he ends up trailing around, and then when he comes back, Nick's got a guy on his tail end, and And that is what shoved Adler over. Like, he helped him and then he coasted him back home. But he was so mad at himself that he allowed Nick to come to be put into harm's way because he wanted glory for himself, basically.
Yeah.
So he ends up like punching the top of his cockpit and like bloodies his knuckles up. And he's like, I can't do this anymore, Lord, not at the expense of my friends' lives. Like, it's basically he just resurrenders himself to him. But he was also one, didn't he say, like, of all the ones in his family, like, he went to church and everything, and but he never fully was a believer until that moment. I think that was him.
I think
wasn't
it was him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, well, I went to church. That's what we did. That's what we did.
But, yeah.
You know.
It was just like routine.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was so powerful. Because sometimes it takes a close call like that or some devastating event in our lives in order for God to get our attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie. I have many times in the past said, do whatever it takes to get a hold of him, Lord. Whatever it takes. And sometimes we're so hard-headed.
Sometimes it takes, yeah.
I mean, and he was blessed in that moment because Nick could have been shot down and killed. And that's what really got him, because he's like, he's a husband, he's a father. And I am supposed to be protecting him so he can go back home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, ladies? I feel like I kind of took over that.
You did great.
Sorry. All right. So then Adler tries to, you know, this happens. He talks through things with Nick, and he ends up like spilling his guts on everything that happened the night of the death, after the death, right? That crazy 24-hour period.
Right.
And Nick was like, okay, you're forgiven. Like, he didn't forgive him, but he's like, you know, God's already forgiven you. So, like, I don't think any less of you, you know. And he's like struggling to wrap, like Adler's struggling to wrap his head around God's forgiveness. So could you relate to him at that point? Or did that speak to you in any way? Strike you in any way?
I think sometimes it is easy to get caught up in your past and past mistakes, and like you get so focused on it that sometimes you're like, it's already done, it's already over, God has forgiven. Like,
but isn't it hard because we don't forget?
Yeah, and it's hard because sometimes, you know, you get flashbacks or you get those memories, and or somebody will say something and you're just like, yeah, I was that person, but I'm not anymore. But that's still how they see you, kind of. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that his best friend didn't.
Yeah, and then he still sees himself as that, I feel like, sometimes. Mm-hmm. But he's not that person anymore.
Especially when he starts getting close with Violet. He does still see himself as that person that, like, pushes and manipulates to get what he wants. Mm-hmm. And he keeps, like, holds himself back from her because of it. I completely get it, because I still struggle with wrapping my head around God's forgiveness because it's so unlike what we experience from others.
Yeah.
You know, people might say, yeah, I forgive you, but inadvertently they still like may treat you different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, except there are a rare few like Nick who are able to like look past past your sins. But our pastors did a sermon a few weeks ago on it, on God's forgiveness. And I loved the way they put it. They said, stop seeing his forgiveness like ours, because when it says he forgets, he forgets. So whatever sin that you've just repeated again, when you go back and repent and you say, I'm so sorry I did this again, Lord. I can't believe I did it again. Please forgive me, right? He's up there going, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. It's as if it's the first time you've done it. And I was like, that's really hard to wrap our heads around.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is. Well, and it's hard to believe
that our perfect God
accepts
our
us as we are, you know, because we're human. We sin every day because we're human. Mm-hmm. We can't help it. our thoughts betray us, our, you know, everything.
We're just sinful.
Yeah, we are. We really are.
We are.
And nobody is without sin. Mm-hmm. But yet, if you have God here in your heart, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what. And it's
hard.
Yeah.
And you strive to not sin again is the thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Like I said, your thoughts betray you. I mean, you know. Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, Violet's all about being a missionary. She refuses to sacrifice her dream of being a missionary for love. And this is a battle she has throughout the whole story. And her great aunt's, now I put this in here, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I said her great aunt's terrible advice keeps holding her back. What were your thoughts on this conflict? So Jamie said she was concerned with the aunt's advice and felt that Violet was very misled. She says, having a family is God's work too. Amen, sister.
Well, yeah, her great aunt wanted her to be a missionary like she was. And for whatever reason, Violet felt like that was her calling, but she hadn't really prayed about it.
Mm-hmm. But also, you know how her aunt's like, it shouldn't be fun. There shouldn't be joy. It's a struggle. If you're like comfortable, then you're not really within God's will, or, you know, like all mm-hmm. that little stuff yeah. that she, mm-hmm. and I was like, that's not true.
I think she had good intentions in her heart, Violet does, about wanting to be the missionary, but it's true. She didn't bring her joy like
yeah.
being around the kids did.
Well, and being a missionary should make you happy, not mm-hmm. miserable.
And fulfilled.
And fulfilled, yeah.
yeah.
It, everything we do, because like your ladies' jobs as nurses, that should bring you joy and fulfillment. It's your way of serving God by helping others, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Just like when I go into work and I'm working with teachers, I'm working with students, it should bring me joy because I'm doing it for him and I'm helping them for him, I guess. But the other thing I've always been told is like, he knows the desires of our hearts because he put it there.
Yeah.
So I always think, I feel like she was trying to take on her aunt's desire and not mm-hmm. her own
yeah.
passion. Which I loved the missionary that came in. Well, the son of missionaries that came in that she got to talk to, because I feel like that was a light bulb moment for her. Like, mm-hmm. oh. And I'm like, don't ever. I could never walk away from the love of my life for a job, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially a job that
that job's not going to be there like yeah. like your yeah. significant other is.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. All right, Adler talks to Beck. Beck is an older gentleman who served during World War I, mm-hmm. and his brother is like this famous general or something like that. I don't know. He's pretty famous in the military thing. And Beck was the mechanic for his brother, and now he's the mechanic for Adler. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Adler has always struggled with coming in second up against Wyatt, because Adler's the second son. Mm-hmm. And so he talks to him about how it feels to come in second to his brother. But then Beck is, like, offended mm-hmm. by that remark and tells him that Beck is talking about himself as he's talking to Adler, that his accomplishments and work are just as important. Because basically Adler's like, well, you know how I feel, man, because like your older brother is this famous general
yeah.
and you're just a mechanic. And he's like, yeah, well, my brother didn't make those accomplishments without me because I was his mechanic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he's like, just because I'm not the famous one doesn't mean what I did wasn't important
yeah.
or didn't contribute to anything. So, and he's like, and I don't really care that my brother got all the fame because I'm doing what I love and I'm good at it. So what did you think about that conversation?
I felt like it was something that Adler needed to hear.
Yeah. Because he was constantly in this battle with Wyatt, even when without Wyatt being around. It's like this constant, I've got to outdo my brother.
It's not like Wyatt was trying to,
Yeah. Let's see what Jamie has to say on this. Where is it at? Oh, I don't know, Tiff, if you have some. Oh, there it is. Okay. Beck is able to see how every job is valuable when he stopped Adler and was like, wait. That was epic, is what she said. Not everyone is the flashy pilot, but without the man fixing your plane, you wouldn't be a flashy pilot. That's very true. I think we put a lot of value on someone's rank or position or accomplishments, but in the end, it takes every single one of us doing our job to not only like make things work in this world, but to build God's kingdom. So we're all doing important things. So no one's calling is greater or more important than the other.
I think it goes into like a hospital or a doctor's office setting too. You can't be a doctor or a nurse practitioner without your support staff. Mm-hmm. You can't have people answering the phones to take the appointments, the payments, mm-hmm. and then ultimately the cleaning people, they don't keep the building clean and upkept, Everything is, everyone is important. The whole thing.
I also loved how Beck says that where he comes from, they apologize for what they did wrong. Because remember, Adler's like, I'm just not going to talk to my family ever again.
Right? That's the way to solve it.
Yeah, son, where I come from, we apologize for what we did wrong.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I love Beck. I love it because we don't see this today.
No, we don't.
I said more people will respect you when you just own it, fix it, and move on.
I think too many people think they don't have to apologize.
That's true, too. I've seen that, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so back to Violet. She's accused of being the thief. There's rations missing, like coffee will be gone, and sugar, flour, all this stuff starts missing. Were you able to figure out who the thief was before it was revealed? I did not. And it was like a double reveal.
Yeah, because there was more than one.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It was like a twist and a twist. And so I didn't figure it out. Mm-mm. Did you guys?
No.
Yeah. No.
And I was shocked when I found out who it really was.
Yeah. Jamie said she had no idea either.
Mm-mm.
So.
Mm-mm.
What did you think of this line? But even when our sins are forgiven by God and man, consequences remain. It is. I always say he forgives us of our sins, but he does not take away the consequences. And why? Because he's a good dad. If we never face the consequence of our sin, we'll just keep repeating it.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, sometimes our sin bears consequences for the ones we love around us, which is what these brothers are finding out throughout the series. Jamie put, that's a heavy line and so true. God gives us free choice and he is always with us. He doesn't shield us from the results of our sins, though. He will walk us through it and love us all the way, but we still have to face what our actions have caused. All right, next one is a major spoiler alert. Adler is made aware of his consequence.
I was like, what?
Yeah, okay, so were you shocked by his consequence? Actually, the full revelation of what really went down that night from the prologue.
Yeah.
And then tell me about your thoughts on Adler, and then tell me your thoughts about Violet's reaction to learning this.
I was shocked at the consequence, at what, that.
Okay, the whole thing. This is going to be a spoiler. There's no way around it. The whole thing that went down. So basically in the prologue, it's Adler's girlfriend that dies.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt runs away. Mm-hmm. Clay is the one brother that's like trying to help both brothers through this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then that night, the night of the incident.
Yes.
Adler sleeps with Clay's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, that girlfriend always wanted Adler to begin with.
Which we didn't know until that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know.
Adler was in a drunk stupor as well.
Yeah, she gave him alcohol and was like,
yeah, she kind of
Dad says you need to be drinking
it.
To, you know, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Clay walks in on them.
Then he tries to kill Adler.
And the mom pulls a shotgun on Clay.
To keep him from killing Adler.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
of course,
it was crazy.
We all know what one of those consequences can be when you sleep with someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He has a baby. He has a son. A 2-year-old? Is he 2 at this point?
Yeah.
Two or three?
So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what?
Crazy.
This was like a twist that I was like, what?
I was too. It was a good twist. I was like, oh my gosh, I never saw it coming. I thought that night was just what it was before, and then there's even more. And
then Violet, I think she was shocked, and she just...
She lost it, I thought. Yeah. Didn't you think?
Yeah.
She was like, you slept with your brother's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, guys. I was beyond shocked. And I was really upset with... I was upset with Violet. I mean, understandable. I mean, she eventually comes around, but it takes her a while to come around to understanding.
Well, because
that.
She was so like, I don't care about your past. I don't care about this, you know. But then when the time came to really show it, she like...
She did care. Yeah.
She really...
It did make a difference. Yeah.
When she wouldn't let him tell her the truth in the... You know, even though he didn't
At
even know.
At the beginning, he wanted to say...
He wanted
did.
To be truthful.
He wanted to admit to her right away what he had done with his brother's girlfriend. And she's like, no, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. So Jamie then put in, she said she was shocked that she was... She wants to be a missionary, but yet she was so unforgiving and so judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And she put in there too. He tried to tell her.
Yeah. But he didn't know that he had a kid.
He didn't know he had a kid, but
I think that the shock of them sleeping together was more what she was worried about.
Yeah. Like, oh my word, you've been with another woman. Okay, this one was just a funny I wanted to put in there. Like, they're planning the parties out, you know, for to, you know, keep morale up, everything, the ladies are, everything. And then they said they didn't think it was proper to celebrate our independence
from the British
Day because it's independence from British with the British. What do you think about that?
That was funny. It was a funny line.
You made me laugh.
Yeah.
But I also was like, I don't think I would have even thought about it.
It's just so great.
Yeah, she was like, it's Independence Day.
Oh.
Yeah, we broke away from you guys.
Yeah. I would fight another war with you.
Yeah, I don't think I would have thought of it either.
They would have been like, you Yanks. all us rebels across the pond over here. I'm curious what she thought of that. Oh, she said she laughed too. It was funny.
Yeah.
She said, I would have gone for it. A united Independence Day. I mean, really, you didn't have to take care of us anymore after that.
Yeah,
that's
true.
You were free of us too, right?
Yeah, really.
What did you think about Wyatt and Adler's reunion? And remember, I forgot to mention this earlier. Adler saw Wyatt in the park when Wyatt saw Adler. But Adler didn't go after him either.
No.
Because he couldn't bear to face his brother either. Because he didn't realize the wrong... Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. But what did you think of Wyatt and Adler's reunion?
Emotional. Like... It was needed, but it's also like...
The reconciliation was awesome, but I cried, but I absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just the way they just embraced each other.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I thought it was super sweet. I loved it. It's just, well, we'll talk about it more at the end of Clay, so I'll hold that thought back. But then how did you react? So here they're like hugging each other, so glad to see each other, and like, I can't believe you don't want to just slug me, and they're like, why would I want to hit you? You know, because they don't, and that's when they start talking about, well, because I did this on that day, and well, but I did this on that day, and then they realize that they both had severely hurt their younger brother, Clay. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about that whole scene?
That's where I was really feeling for Clay. Mm-hmm. And how their big brother said to the little one, and they were both...
And they'd spent their whole childhood, like, standing up for him, making sure nobody hurt him, nobody bullied him, because he's half Mexican and half white.
Yeah.
And he wasn't always accepted in certain places. And so they just always made sure, like, nobody puts our little brother down. You know, they were good big brothers.
Yeah.
But then they literally destroyed his life.
Yeah. His whole dream, Wyatt
took away his dream of going to college, and Adler took his girlfriend away. And then, well, we'll get to it in Clay's story. Right. But when you got to the end of this, did this realization then make you go, I got to read the third book?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I did go through the third book a lot faster than I did the other one.
Yeah, because you're also like, okay, but like 2/3 of them have reconciled, right? Let's see if we can get the third brother. Then you're also like, oh my gosh, poor Clay is like had the worst. And he never did anything wrong.
No.
I'm not saying that the others did. Well, they did do wrong.
They did wrong.
They did wrong.
They wronged him. But it ultimately, and you find out in the later book, it helped Clay.
It does in the end.
Yes,
we'll get to that part too. But like, you're right. Like, he was the one that was like, initially, he wasn't part of the argument that led to the death.
Right.
Right. He was trying to keep everybody calm. He held Adler back from killing Wyatt. Mm-hmm. Right. Made sure Wyatt got out. And then, so he was really helping both brothers at that point.
Yeah.
I just feel so bad for him.
Yeah.
It did make me run to the third book pretty fast.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just talk about our elements here. So how would you rate the following elements of The Sky Above Us? How about romance?
Espresso. There really wasn't a lot. Could have been a lot more.
I would agree. You think espresso, Mom?
Yeah, because I don't know why. You put answers to all mine.
I forgot to wipe those out. I copied and pasted. So
well, you I figured put, when you started answering differently.
Those are from a different.
You put mocha.
Yeah, no, that wasn't mine. It was like I copied from a previous document discussion.
Yeah, I.
That's what I you're supposed to want you to say that.
No, I would say espresso.
What about suspense? I put mocha because I thought some of those battle scenes, especially towards the end, I was like, oh. So it's not like there's suspense all the way through, but how about the action?
I'd say mocha. There's a lot of action.
Yeah, I did the mocha too. Which, by the way, we didn't really talk about, because I don't want to give everything away either in the book, but his flight scene, that flight plan that went down the wrong way. I thought the guy, because he ends up on the beach, I thought that guy that he was like, hey, I need to get back to my base, was so snarky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gave a little grace just because it was D-Day and they were, I mean, he ends up, they all end up on the beaches. Basically. Yeah. Well, Wyatt, I guess, stays on his ship, but still.
Yeah.
Crazy. But anyways, okay. That's the suspense and action part. How about the mystery?
It's like espresso.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know the mystery until it's revealed.
And the only ongoing one is the
It's really
theme.
Not a... Yeah.
Yeah. How about the drama?
Mocha. Mm-hmm. There's some drama.
I did latte and so did Jamie.
Really?
I thought there was a lot of drama with
the baby.
Yeah. And then between the guys, oh, we didn't talk. Did I skip that question? I thought I had a question about, remember the cocky pilot who ends up dying, but just always was riding Adler?
You didn't have a question about him.
Oh, I didn't. He was always riding Adler and always like, oh, guess what? I'm ace. You're not, you know. He was just real. Too bad. Anyways, inspiration level.
Mocha.
Mm-hmm. Mocha.
I put latte and Jamie put mocha latte. So, all right, what is your overall lasso rating of The Sky Above Us by Sarah Sundin?
Three lassos.
I did three, and Jamie shocked me. She did two again. Maybe she forgot our lasso rating scale. No, because I put it right there.
Yeah, you put it right there for us. Yeah.
Anyways, I would say it's a three for sure.
Yeah.
Totally worth the read. So, all right, that ends our discussion of The Sky Above Us, and next week we'll have The Land Beneath Us. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.